like I said, we put ourselves in position to win the game. That's what makes it this so tough. You know, if it's a route, you sit here and go, all right, we'll chalk that one up to experience. It'll hurt, but this one here, where you're in it and to win it right there, that's a tough deal. But gave ourselves every opportunity to do it, and you know, they got us in overtime.
What's your message to him after the win? What's your message to him after the season he's had and the way he's been?
Yeah, so he's hurting. I mean, he's a competitive kid, so he's emotional right now, but he'll get through that. He'll grow from this, and he knows that, but it's not easy right this minute.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Patrick Mahomes, the second, did not have a good first half. He had one hell of a second half, including leading the team to 24 points in the fourth quarter, getting the game to overtime, but came up short. Well, didn't get the ball in the overtime, so. If he would have gotten the ball in the overtime, I believe they would have scored, but the defense could not get a stop. Could not get a stop, even though they forced 3 third and 10s during that 14-play drive in overtime. Patrick Mahomes the second. And again, people don't want to hear anything trying to be positive, but a very valuable Yeah. The playoff experience he got this year is extremely valuable and will pay huge dividends in the near future. It will. There will be a time when we say, remember how bad that hurt in the AFC Championship game, but losing that game made them better, made him better, and this is why they're in the Super Bowl now. We will say that soon. Let's hear from Patrick Mahomes the second after the game last night.
Yeah, they challenged us. They came up, played man. Not a lot of teams have this year, and they put people in our face, and they see how we responded. And the first half we struggled. We couldn't make anything happen. But then the second half, I feel like our guys took the challenge, and they were doing the same things, and we were just winning. And you have to do that. You have to find ways to win against one-on-one matchups. And we found ways in the second half.
Patrick, what was going through your mind there in overtime when the defense is out there trying to get a stop?
Yeah, I mean, I have ultimate trust in the defense. I mean, I know those guys are out there giving everything they have. I know those guys are doing whatever they can, and they ended up making more plays than we did in the end. But at the same time, I had the trust that we were going to get the stop, and if we got the chance, I felt like we were going to score.
You got the ball and there's 37 seconds left and you guys were marching down. What was going through your head then? What was the atmosphere like?
Yeah, I mean, we knew we had it. We just had to get in field goal range. We got a good, pretty good return to get us into a shorter yardage where we didn't have to get too much. And we knew if we could get it in Harrison's range, he was going to make it. And so we found ways to get a couple plays there, and then he knocked it in.
What do you say to the guys in the locker room after this when you guys come back in there?
Yeah, I mean, first off, I mean, every team's going to be different year to year. But at the same time, we have a lot of young guys on this team. And, I mean, it hurts. It hurts everybody. We knew we had the opportunities this game and this season, and we've put in the work. But we know that this can be a building block. It can be something that carries us in the future. I mean, right now it's the end, but hopefully it's just the beginning of a long time.
Patrick, along the same lines, is that sort of Andy's message to you guys, too, that you feel like, to the future right away almost?
No, I mean, you have to take in the hurt. I mean, you have to be accept that. I mean, this hurts. I mean, it's supposed to hurt. You put in work for this. You're doing everything you can to get to the Super Bowl and to win it. And for this opportunity to fall short, I mean, it's going to hurt. And he told us to accept that. I mean, you have to go through that. But at the same time, when you look back and then you come back and look at the bigger picture, you know that you can build off this, use this feeling as motivation to go out and find ways to win next time.
But hoping to see you at home, I think they just had like 8 minutes. So they had like 8 minutes. How hard was it just you sitting there for like most of the first quarter?
Yeah, I mean, you have to stay within the game plan. You can't try to do too much. They had a good game plan, came out, and it came out fast. And so we started slow, but we picked it up, and you just got to trust in the process, not try to do too much, and things will start happening and having success your way.
And you've seen Brady, I'm sure, do this before, but it's different kind of you're on the sideline, you want the chance to get it, but kind of watching.
Yeah, I mean, it's just how the, I mean, how the coin tosses, I guess you would say. I mean, it's a thing where he had a great drive, had a lot of third down conversions, and big moments. Guys made big catches for him. It's a thing where all you can do is support your teammates, trust in your teammates. And then when you get your opportunity, you go out there and try to make plays.
At halftime, what did you guys see? What adjustments were you able to make that enabled you to really get into a rhythm in the second?
Yeah, I think we manned up. There was nothing different. They played the same coverages. We did the same things. Guys just made plays, and that was the message in halftime by everybody. Was let's just man up, go out there and make plays against this man, and see what happens from there.
Pat, any doubt in your mind that if you guys had won the coin toss, you would have gone down there?
No doubt at all. But I mean, you can't. That's just like ifs and buts. I mean, you can't look at that. But at the same time, I felt we were rolling. But it didn't go our way, and stuff happens.
So at the end of regulation, it was 11 seconds to go. They had like three guys in the end zone to play right before. It was no real chance to score a touchdown there. That's why you kind of
keep
kick, I guess.
Yeah, we knew with the situation that we needed the touchdown on the play. Coach had told me before the play, touchdown or get the ball out of my hands and throw it away. And we had a good play call on, but they had enough guys in the end zone that I didn't want to force it in there for a pick. And so I just found a way to throw it out of bounds where we wasn't intentional grounding or anything like that. And Buckner knocked it in.
I know it's less than an hour, but what will you think back on, say, a week, month from now, that's going to eat at you the most about today?
Yeah, I mean, just not starting how we wanted to start. We scored what, like 31 points in the second half, both games we played them, and so you just got to find ways to start better. It's something I'll look back on my entire career and use it as something that I can find ways to win these games whenever I'm in them.
A couple more guys,
Patrick, your brother next door, the Royals, when they lost the World Series in 2014, they came back. Refocused in the offseason, came back the next season, won the World Series. What are your plans for the offseason with your teammates to get you all on that path for next season?
Yeah, I mean, we'll be together. I mean, we're great friends. We have great relationships. So we'll get in work. And kind of like you said, I mean, it's not always the same team, but there's a lot of the same core guys that will be here next year, and hopefully a lot of the whole team. And so for us, we're going to keep that chemistry going, get better in every single way that we can. Look back on the film and see what we didn't do as well and see what we did well and try to really emphasize that stuff. And then that's the stuff you have to do in order to be a great team and keep this success going.
Tyreek Hill had one catch. They always talk about how Belichick tries to take some away. Did they do a really good job of that? There's just not many chances to get to him.
Yeah, I think they doubled him probably on like 95% of the plays. He made the one play with the deep one. But, I mean, you guys have to step up, and I thought guys did. I mean, we put points on the board. We found ways to move the ball whenever we needed to. And so that just comes with how we played all season. That whoever gets their opportunity, they're out there making plays.
That was Patrick Mahomes after the game. And if you would have told me before the game that Tyreek Hill would have been held to one catch and Travis Kelce held to three catches, boy, there's no way I would have thought the Chiefs would have even been within striking range in the fourth quarter. I mean, that's a remarkable job by the New England defense and Bill Belichick taking away Travis Kelce, taking away Tyreek Hill.
I mean, Hill only had three targets. I mean, that's, like you said, double teaming him 95% of the...
I'm surprised they didn't get him the ball more.
On the ground.
On the ground, just, you know, end arounds.
Jet sweeps or something like
right.
that. Yeah. But, you know, like you said, I mean, obviously in the first half, the offensive performance wasn't good enough. But they did score 31 points in the second half. Damian Williams was terrific catching the ball out of the backfield.
I'm curious. We haven't spoke about it yet, but your guys' view on the muffed punt, because I was right there. I was in that end zone sitting right there. I saw him touch it with my own eyes. I mean, it was right in front of me.
I was absolutely sure that he touched it watching it live, but watching the replay, I don't think he touched it.
I mean, now, it was right in front of me, man.
One angle to his fingertip, one angle didn't look like it. But to me, there was nothing in the replay that suggested right. you needed to overturn it. So whatever the call was made on the field, that's what should have been the call.
Yeah, I don't
think.
That's
what I thought.
Yeah, if you have to watch a replay for 5 minutes, to me, that's not conclusive.
They end up getting the ball back and getting the score.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I mean, it's a moot point, but still, it's like.
And this isn't sour grapes, but again, let me tell you this. Okay, just look at what happened in the NFC Championship game. The officiating is terrible.
We've talked about it all year long, too.
The officiating in the NFL is terrible. That is one of the worst non-calls that you could ever see in a game.
Incredible.
That occurred in the NFC Championship. Mm-hmm. I'm not even talking about anything that happened in the Chiefs and Patriots.
Right.
And I guess the word is now that NFL is going to come out and admit, you know, the mistake. So what?
Yeah. Right. That.
So what?
Oh, that makes me feel better.
You know, there was a horrific call that went against the Chiefs, against the Titans, the stupid forward progress call.
Derek Johnson, yeah.
Just the officiating is not good enough for this league.
It's been declining for several years, and I think it finally hit its breaking point. This year, I mean, we just saw Super Bowl opportunities.
Well, the call on the muff punt was controversial. The one, if you want to talk about a call that actually really hurt the Chiefs in that game, it was the ridiculous roughing the passer penalty against Chris Jones.
Yes.
Now, I will say this, that I think would have led to a third and long, and the Patriots seemed to convert every single one of those in the fourth quarter. So,
but I'll take my chances on third and long.
I thought the Hogan catch shouldn't have been a catch.
Yeah.
Ball hit the ground. I mean, they were just.
But that was just an absurd call. I mean, Chris Jones hit him on the shoulder pad.
Right, and the ball's still in his hand.
He didn't hit him in the helmet, hit him in the shoulder
pad.
Those are
bad, but imagine, and again, they have a somewhat recent Super Bowl championship, so it's much different. But can you imagine two more gut-wrenching losses back-to-back in the playoffs in the Saints?
No.
The Minneapolis Miracle last year. And then this year, I feel like you could have called two or three different kinds of penalties on that play. And they didn't call nothing. And then, oh, by the way, a 57-yard field goal to win it. Hmm. But congratulations to Greg Zuerlein.
Absolutely.
Who kicked at Missouri Western State University.
Mo West, baby.
But, and so I don't even have to talk about the Chiefs and Patriots officiating.
Right.
I can just tell you about what happened in that game between the Saints and the Rams.
Blanket
to
statement.
To tell you that officiating
in the NFL
is terrible.
Brutal. It's behind the play, and it's slowly beginning there, and now it's costing teams opportunities at Super Bowls.
And there it is. Pro Football Talk says, per source, NFL will publicly admit error as to key non-call on Rams Saints. What the league will do to fix it moving forward remains to be seen.
Oh, well, there you go, Saints fans. That makes you feel better. Yeah. Those people on Bourbon Street right now hanging out, I feel better.
Oh.
Brutal. Brutal. And I wish I had a solution for their problem, but it's much bigger than that. I think they need a whole revamping of the system.
By the time I had driven home, I had decided that I want an all-robot officiating crew.
Well, Jose Canseco will fight that.
Right. That would scare him very much so. But I feel like I'm ready for robots now. Let's go. And you know what? You can give them personalities. Put a mustache on one of them, you know?
Up their
one
AI.
One got some nice biceps like Ed Hockley.
There you go.
You know? Make one like a short and fat robot that walks out there. Unsportsmanlike conduct. I'm trying to make myself laugh here. I don't know.
Going to replay.
What is a tear? That's what a robot would say because he doesn't understand
emotion.
Human emotion.
Right.
You know, what is...
Like Data from Star Trek?
What is love?
I don't know. I'd like to find
none
out.
None of us know that
What I have for Mahomes.
Yep.
I love everyone. I'm sorry. I'm sorry everyone feels bad. It hit his finger. Sorry. I'm watching. It hit his finger.
Right. Right. I mean, it was literally right in front of me. And I'm like, oh, every, it was, I'm like, my own eyes are lying to me now.
I was so glad. I mean, when you know, Daniel Sorensen ended up picking off the pass right after that.
Right.
That kind of wiped that situation out.
And I made it a profanity-laced tweet after that. You know, ball don't blink and lie.
Oh, no. Best choice I made all night. I put my phone in my back pocket after the game started, and that's where it stayed.
I pulled it out a couple times.
I didn't read tweets. I didn't do nothing. I didn't take pictures. Well, I didn't do nothing.
I had to, after that 5-minute replay, I was like, I'm, you know, I shouldn't have, but I did. I almost went back and deleted it because, you know, my standard now is like, my nieces follow me on Twitter to. I want them seeing that kind of language, but
I went back and deleted a tweet because I tweeted out last night after the game. I said, you know, I hate saying this because I think he's a really good guy, but if D Ford had simply done nothing the whole game, because he didn't have a single tackle in the game,
nope.
If he had just done nothing the whole game, including not line up offsides, the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl.
I mean, they took him off the field a lot. I mean, Breeland Speaks was on the field a lot.
In all the obvious running situations,
yep.
They took him off the field.
Right.
We know D Ford's not good against the run, but he gets pass rush.
Look at the first play of the divisional game.
Yeah.
He had a great run stop.
Well, he was unblocked. I mean, he was a good tackle, but when he makes a tackle on the run, it's when nobody blocks him. So they take him off the field when it's a situation where they're going to run the ball for sure. But he gets to the passer. I mean, he's been a really good pass rusher this year. He really has.
I just feel like that.
I deleted the tweet because I don't want to blame one person for the game. It's not fair.
No.
But it is a true statement.
A giant.
Man, if he just doesn't line up offsides, yep. we're making our Super Bowl plans right now.
We are celebrating.
And man, that sucks.
I was saying earlier, I've never had a swing in my sports emotion ever go from, oh my God. We're going to the Super Bowl, and then someone says, no, man, there's a flag. And I was like, what, what? Because I really...
And it had nothing to do with why Tom Brady threw that interception.
Yeah, I mean,
it went off the fingertips. I think it was Gronk's fingertips, if I remember correctly.
Oof.
I mean, we were going nuts in our house. Like, that's it? They're going to Super Bowl?
Yeah.
I mean, for
But
for
I never
this,
felt
the
like they
were going
to win
moment,
the game until that point.
For the
like,
most, yeah, but for the most fleeting moment, for the first time
ever
in my life,
right.
I genuinely thought the Chiefs were going
yes.
to the Super Bowl.
I didn't.
For about 5 seconds or less.
Did you see the flag right away?
Well, no, but I just know, especially with the way things happen, if it's like, wait.
Yeah. Always,
flags? But also, look, so I'm at the game, and I don't have the benefit of replays and seeing it very well.
Yeah,
you know,
me either.
I saw him, I thought, intercept it, and then I saw the ball fly out of bounds.
Yep, yeah,
so
he
like,
lost the ball
so
out
like,
of bounds.
Like,
yep.
I don't know. Like, wait, did he get it? Did he have it? Did he have it? And I'm like, did he have it? Did he have it? I don't know, mm-hmm. because with the way
I
see my angle.
I didn't watch the end of the play.
He fumbled it, was bobbling it.
But his back was to me.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And so all I saw was him. And then I saw the ball fly out, so I didn't know if he was bobbling it and it flew out of bounds. I just didn't know.
So I was on the opposite side of the field from you, the far side corner.
Richie turns around, he goes, we did it, we died. I go, wait, I don't know. Because yeah. I saw all I saw was what I thought that he had the ball, and I saw the ball fly out of bounds.
Mm-hmm.
And so as far as I knew, because on our angle, maybe he was bobbling. I didn't know. I just wait. And then the flag.
See, I saw the tip pass, and I saw him, Ward, catch it. And as soon as I saw him catch it, I lost it, and everybody around me lost it. And
I was just unsure.
Right,
I didn't know.
And I mean, I was
fly.
Throwing people up in the air, and I was like, and then wah.
It was for the briefest of moments. It was when the ball was in Ward's hands as he was running toward the sideline that I thought the Chiefs were going to the Super Bowl. And then, like you said, as soon as he fumbled it out of bounds. Everybody was jumping up and down, screaming and going crazy in my house, and I was thinking to myself, okay, that was a catch, right? He caught that, right? Like, that wasn't he wasn't bobbling it, but I wasn't sure. And then you see the flag, and you go, oh, no, what? What did they do? Is it going to be another controversial roughing the passer penalty?
Right, because you don't know.
What is it? And then he lined up in the neutral zone. Oh.
You know, because maybe the officials made a good call. Maybe they didn't on every single penalty. And then when they go to replay, maybe they're going to get it right, but guess what? Maybe they're not.
Right.
Because they're horrible. And again, I'm not just talking about the Chiefs game. Look, they decided the Rams-Saints game, basically. Awful. Terrible.
I mean, that one was just brutal. That game was just brutal. But for the Chiefs...
Look at this picture. Do you think the referee's right there looking at it?
Yeah. I mean,
That's painful to look at. And I'm not even a Saints fan. That's painful.
I will say, like, for me, I don't come away from this Chiefs game going, oh, the Chiefs got hosed by the refs. I feel like they got hosed by a stupid overtime rule. And I feel like they got hosed by lining up in the freaking neutral zone, you know, and D4 didn't have any way of knowing that that was going to be the interception that decided the game, but just line up right.
And so I'm not going to read all, because there's some good tweets from people. There are some people that shouldn't be on Twitter. And there are some people that if you read their tweets, your IQ will decrease immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But Ryan, I feel like Ryan is tweeting out of frustration. He said, how many more years are we going to sit here after a heartbreaking loss and say we got a bright future? Well, this is the first year that Mahomes has been the quarterback, and I did not sit here and say that last year. Well, I did, because if they make Mahomes a quarterback, because I never felt like Alex Smith is going to be able to get them even to this point. And that's to me, that's the difference. That's why I just don't have this horrible attitude today, because every year, you know, going back to 90 when they lost to the Dolphins, like, you know, DeBerg, he's too old, he can't get it done. Who's going to be next year? Then they lost in the playoffs with DeBerg. Hey, they got to move on from DeBerg. There was always be that. And then 92, when they got beat by the Chargers, Dave Craig's not the answer. Then 93 and 94, yes, Montana, but he had a short shelf life.
Yeah, we knew he was at the end of his career.
And then in 95, Steve Bono, I said, there's no way that Bono should be the starter. In 96, it should be Gannon. And, of course, Bono started. After 97... they got to get rid of Gerbach. Screw him. And it was the first year of his contract. But, you know, I felt like they could have still won with Trent Green at quarterback after they lost in the 03 playoffs, but they didn't. And then that fell apart because of defense. You know, with Matt Cassel, he was no franchise quarterback. I mean, Alex Smith was good enough to get him there, but that was the story of Alex Smith, get him there, but couldn't get over the hump. And so, again, don't compare these losses to other losses, because they did get over the first obstacle. They won in the divisional round. They beat the Colts. They advanced to the AFC Championship game. They lost in freaking overtime to a dynasty.
To the greatest coach quarterback tandem in the history of the league.
And there's nothing about the conversation that involves, well, who's the quarterback going to be? We know who the quarterback is going to be for the next 10 to 15 years. The guy that's going to win multiple MVPs. Starting with this year's. The guy that's going to have multiple opportunities to get this team to a Super Bowl. Now, not everything's perfect, but you have the biggest part of the problem solved. Now, tell me who the next defensive coordinator is going to be.
Yep.
Because it ain't Bob Sutton. It shouldn't be Bob Sutton. Tell me how they're going to upgrade the safety position. Tell me what they're going to do to be better against the run more consistently. Tell me what they're going to do. I mean, if Laurent Duvernay-Tardif comes back, and boy, they missed him yesterday. I was disappointed when I found out he wasn't going to play, and they could have used him, because the Pats were putting a lot of pressure on Mahomes.
And most of it was because of stunts that they didn't pick up coming up the middle.
And a big sack that Mahomes took cost them a field goal opportunity after he missed Damian Williams in the end zone for a touchdown because he was rushed. You know, there was the pass rush affected him. And so, you know, offensive line is something they have to dread. But the run defense, the safeties, those are, you know, but hey, they need another voice, a defensive coordinator. Bottom line.
Yes.
That's all.
And not only is the quarterback situation answered, to me, one of the things that Patrick Mahomes did this year, I feel strongly, is also prove not only can he put up ridiculous numbers and make amazing throws and make amazing plays, he proved time and time again, including in this game yesterday, that he will be terrific in crunch time. And I'm not talking about the show hosted by Frank Bull that used to come on right after this. I mean, like, in the biggest moments of games, 4th and 9 against the Ravens. Yesterday, putting up 24 points in the fourth quarter. He wasn't good in the first half, like you said. The whole offense wasn't. But in the fourth quarter, with the game on the line, 24 points, 32 seconds left, needing a field goal, he gets him right down the field. He has proven in the clutch that he can and will deliver. Nothing about that loss yesterday has anything to do with Patrick Mahomes failing to deliver in crunch time. He did. And he proved time and time again in his first ever season as an NFL quarterback that he can do that. And unlike a lot of these other tremendous quarterbacks, it was all on his shoulders from day one. I mean, even Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback to ever live, when he started, when he was a young quarterback winning the Super Bowl, he was a game manager with a great defense. Patrick Mahomes just got this team the number one seed and to overtime in the AFC Championship game with a crap defense, putting up 50 touchdowns and throwing 5,000 yards. It was all on him from day one. And he got this team on the doorstep of a Super Bowl in which if somebody doesn't line up offsides, he's in the Super Bowl right now. I'm 100% agree. And I don't really, I mean, everybody, well, tell that to Dan Marino. I'll say it. Patrick Mahomes is better than Dan Marino. I believe that. I really do. There's no guarantee. There's no guarantee that he gets, but Ace Ventura, Dan Marino.
Isotoner Gloves, Dan Marino. Make it sure. Finkel's Einhorn?
Finkel and Einhorn Marino.
Snowflake?
I just think he's... I firmly believe this team is going to be back many times in the Patrick Mahomes era. I do. I believe it. There's no guarantee, of course.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we have more post-game sound from some Chiefs players. We're going to have Sam Mellinger in studio. We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You know, I just thought they were going to play the prevent look. Anything I did, if I stay in bounds, it's over. And so I want to make sure we go ahead and kick it and get it done. You saw what they did on that play there where they backed everybody up. So I gave it the best shot there, and then Pat threw it away, and then we came back and decided to kick it. But, yeah, again, listen, we... Yeah, those things. Anyways, go ahead. Next question.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's hear from Chiefs defensive lineman Chris Jones, who spoke with the media after the loss to the Patriots.
What makes this one sting the most?
You know, just the hard work, commitment you put in it for 6 or 7 months of football, and get these opportunities to, you know, get in a championship and play high-quality game as itself. You know, it just hurts.
What do you think kept you guys from getting the 3rd and 10 stops in overtime?
Brady got rid of the ball fast. We didn't get to the quarterback like we usually do. So I put this on the defense, you know. You got to build from it, learn from it. That's all, you know, and we'll be better next year.
A couple of the offensive guys said the opposite. They said, we take the blame for this one. What does that say about this team, that both sides of the ball are taking full blame for it?
I mean, both sides of the ball got to hold each other accountable. We'll definitely hold this dear to our hearts this offseason. Next year, we'll definitely be in this position again, and got to seal the deal.
Chris, is there a difference in the feeling you had last January? I know for you it was different because you got hurt, but as a team, is there a difference in the way this one ends, knowing that you have the quarterback and have some more maybe going for you this time?
Most definitely. When you know you can beat the team and you have them right at the grip at the end and you don't seal it, and it leaves an odd feeling in your heart when you know you can get the job done. They just didn't outplay us. We kind of beat ourselves. So.
What did Coach Reed tell you after the game?
I mean, hold your head up. You know, just hold your head up. We had a great year. But, you know, this is something we'll learn from. There's something we'll learn from. We'll definitely get the opportunity again. And it will actually build the character of the team up. So.
Surprised by the roughing call?
I mean, it's part of the game. You know, sometimes they miss a couple calls. Sometimes they make the right call. So can't argue with the referee.
What's next for you the next couple weeks? How do you process this?
Train even harder. Come back even dominate this season. Looking forward to start training. getting my body right and be a dominant aspect for this defense next year.
Chris, early on, I mean, the time of possession was so lopsided, and they just ate up the clock early on. What was it that was making it so hard to get that their offense off the field early in the season?
I don't think it was hard to get the offense off the field. It's just the place they was running. They were running the ball, play action, run the ball. You know, I think the game plan was to kind of hold on to the ball, keep our offense off the field, and they executed.
Yes. Yeah. Last one, Tom.
I'm sure a Super Bowl is what you would define a successful season as, but what can you define this season as?
We had a lot of fight. We're going to come back even harder this year.
That was Chris Jones after the game. This will be a tough one to listen to. Here is Dee Ford, who, of course, what could have been the game-winning interception by Charvarius Ward was negated by Dee Ford lining up in the neutral zone. Here is Dee Ford after the game.
Yeah, we did. We put ourselves in a great position. And in times and games like this, we want to capitalize.
How proud are you of your teammates?
I'm so proud, man. The adversity that we fought through all year, how close we got in a lot, in all of our losses, how close we were, and how we stayed together. That's hard to do. We're going to stick together. We're going to continue to stick together even through this, you know, tough loss.
What was the difference in this football game at the end?
They executed, and we didn't. At the end of the day, execution trumps everything, especially in overtime, being just at stake in the time of the year.
Can you talk about Tom Brady?
It's great. He's great. I think we all understand he's great. And every play matters against a quarterback like that.
Can you talk about your emotions?
About those final 8 minutes, just what it was like, the roller coaster ride of the leagues changing and finally getting it to overtime. What was going through your mind?
Just through my mind personally is to definitely make a big play. One big play away was always my mentality. But you don't want to jump out of the scheme. But when the opportunity presents itself, you definitely want to make plays. And they were able to make more than us.
Can you talk about the emotions? I mean, it looked like you had the pick that won the game that iced it, then they called off sides. I mean, what an up and down.
Yeah, it was very up and down. We got to be better. Me especially on that play, we just have to be better. In these games, every play counts. Every play counts.
Was it a split second too early?
No, they said I was in the neutral zone. I gotta see the ball.
What did you feel about that?
I gotta see the ball, especially that the time of that game and you know what was at stake. You just have to see the ball.
Despite the way this game ended, do you feel like this season, I know it's tough to look back at it as a whole right now, but the start of something big, or do you still feel like the end of something right now?
It still feels like the end, but once we get over it, it'll be the start of something special.
Couple more guys.
Do you feel more a sense of shock? I mean, Jordan came off, he was sobbing, and this hurt so much, but do you feel there's a sense of shock and this team is a little stunned right now?
We're definitely stunned. We feel like we should have came out with the dub. Especially being here in Arrowhead and, you know, the history of the moment. We definitely wanted to bring it back, so it stings.
What does it say about last the resilience one of this team after the first half you guys had to still be in it and so close towards the last final minutes of this game?
That's been the story of our year. This is what we want to hang our hat on and bring it to next year.
That was Dee Ford after the game. Now let's hear from Spencer Ware, who had gets lost in everything else that happened. He, what a hell of a catch, hell of a throw and catch late in the game by Spencer Ware. Here's Chiefs running back Spencer Ware after the game.
Obviously, devastating loss, but what about the way you guys fought back down 14-0 at halftime to take this thing to overtime?
No, I ain't really got much to say. Bad luck next year, man. Bad luck next year.
Then tell me about the big catch you had on that fourth down drive coming out of the backfield.
Man, just trying to help my team. That's what I'm here for. We had to make big plays today. We had to make big plays, so we was a couple too short.
You guys won a whole lot of coin tosses. That last coin toss was a big one on overtime. What's the feeling like on the sideline when you're rooting on your defense to try to get it done, but you just can't do anything about it?
That's tough. We got to take care of our side of the ball, eliminate the mistakes and the penalties. We fall hard, but just wasn't good enough. We got to next year.
You feel like the future is bright for this team, though. A lot of young players. I mean, you said next year a few times. There's a lot left for this team.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Like I said, it's a fall hard. But, you know, I mean, score more points than us. So, like I said, we got to wait until next year. Every month we can do about it now. So, I love my teammates. Shit, we back at it. Back to the grind. That's what we do.
You know, one of the things we talk a lot about how they need to address the defense, and clearly it's got to start with the coaching staff on defense. But another thing they have to address this offseason that they have to get better at, they have to become better at not drawing penalties. This team, we talked about all season long, most penalized team in the NFL. And damned if it wasn't a penalty that knocked this team out of the, you know, Super Bowl. And so many of them just stupid penalties. You know, there's a difference between a physical mistake and a mental mistake. Sometimes you commit a penalty or you get called for a penalty because physically you get beat. And you got to clutch and grab onto a guy to try to keep him from scoring a touchdown or whatever. And then there's the mental penalty of forgetting the snap count or lining up in the neutral zone. And that's attention to detail stuff. That's got to be cleaned up. That should be like for Andy Reid going into this offseason, he's obviously got to, you know, they've got to overhaul the way they go about business on the defensive side of the ball. But to me, that should be a huge priority. We have got to clean up the mental mistakes that lead to penalties for this team. Because damn, I mean, that was the two things we thought could be a problem for this team all year ended up biting them in the butt. In the AFC Championship game, the defensive problems that we knew were there, and lack of discipline when it comes to getting called for penalties.
We'll talk to Gary Lezak after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us on this Monday, January 21st, 2019. Stephen St. John and APKD with Jake Gutierrez. Let's check in with Gary Lezak. Hello, Gary.
Hello, Stephen, Nate, Jake, and Chiefs Kingdom out there. Rough moments for us all again. You know, go back to Pittsburgh Steelers game with 18-16, and you know Eric Fisher's called for holding, and Chiefs tied it up at 18.
Different man. Different.
That moment in Arrowhead. A chance to experience the explosion in Arrowhead. And again, D Ford, one foot back and 6 inches back. And we get that explosion in Arrowhead. I mean, it's like we get stolen. We get this feeling robbed from us. It's a sports moment that we don't get to experience. And it's sad. It's still going to come, as we all know, the chance of it happening in the next year, two, three, is high, but you got to take the opportunity when you get the opportunity. So, guys, I'm going to ask you this. 21-17, the Chiefs blood. 28-24, with 2 minutes to go, the Chiefs blood. And Brady drives him down in a 1 minute and 20-second drive. I mean, did the Chiefs blitz one time? I want to ask you that. Did they blitz once?
In the entire game or on any of those third downs?
In the entire game.
I don't know if they did the entire game, but...
I don't think they blitzed. One time.
Not much. And they definitely didn't on any of those third down conversions.
If Brady's going to complete a pass to Hogan or to Edelman or to Gronk, you know, number one, I don't know why they're not covering two of those three guys double covers. Just blitz everyone and leave them wide open and see what happens. Golly. They're going to catch the ball and score a touchdown faster. It's just amazing. I don't think there was one blitz, which is a reason for firing the defensive coordinator. And did Tyreek Hill get one chance to run the ball?
No.
Hasn't he had a rush in almost every game?
Yeah, one touch.
So some flaws there. You know, obviously Andy Reid got out-coached by the best coach, I guess, in the NFL history. You know, I don't like to say that, but it's true. And he got out-coached. I mean, you can't score no points in the first half. The Chiefs were nervous a little bit, I guess. I don't know. That's how I feel. D Ford, guys. You guys said not one tackle. I don't mind that. Just stay on side. Who knows what would have happened on that play. But we're on to next year. There's optimism for next year. I'm over this faster than normal, I guess. I don't know. I couldn't fall asleep right away. How were you guys falling asleep?
Oh, by the time I got out of the stadium and got out of the parking lot and got home and consoled my daughter, I might have fallen asleep at around 2-ish.
And then you're up by one. By one.
But I didn't sleep very well. I just, you know, I was too amped up, and I was still, I don't know, just couldn't shut it off. And I knew that was going to be an issue. And so.
Well, I thought I had it all. You know, it's going to get better for all of us. And it's fine. We're going to move on. It's sports. It's a game. But so much on the line. So much, 2 weeks of fun and excitement just wiped away as usual. You know, I mean, we say
no, not as usual, not as usual. This is different.
In the past, they didn't have the quarterback taken care of for the next decade. They have the quarterback. This is not a situation where we're debating who's going to be the quarterback next year. Now, what do they do? And they did accomplish something. I said before the season, when Jeff Jadea would always ask me, Nate would ask me, Jake would ask me, what's a successful season to you? A successful season is moving past where they have in the past, exceeding what
progress.
They've done in the past, progress. They took a step forward. They won in the divisional round. They advanced to the AFC Championship game. It is bitterly disappointing. It feels awful that they lost. But they did not go and tank one and done in the playoffs this year. They beat the Colts. They advanced to the championship game and lost in overtime to the Patriots.
To the dynasty.
They took a step forward with a 23-year-old quarterback who's only going to get better, and this experience in the playoffs is only going to make him better, and they will have this opportunity again. And it was a successful season. It doesn't feel like it now, but they advanced further than they had since 1994.
And hopefully it's never a factor again, but the overtime rules, I mean, at least in the playoffs, both teams should get the ball. Touchdown, great, fantastic, good job, New England, amazing, okay? But if they know the Chiefs are going to get the ball, it's still a different strategy for that team. And you know, each team should get the ball. I mean, it's a complete flaw, at least in the playoffs. Do you agree?
I think at all times this should be. I mean, it's a stupid system. It's a stupid overtime system.
Is there another sport that has where one team gets the ball and the other team doesn't?
Doesn't matter.
Can you imagine in baseball if you scored three runs in the top half of the inning, then the other team doesn't get to bat?
Well, that's basically what it is.
We weren't complaining about the rules yesterday. We're complaining about now because we're dealt with them. And they suck. They suck, but that's not why they lost.
Hopefully it never comes down to that for the Chiefs. But for another team, it shouldn't come down to that.
The system that I would like overhauled is the Chiefs' defensive system.
There you go.
That's the system I'm focusing on today.
Overhaul the Chiefs' defense. Get some new players in here. We got some good ingredients.
They need a new defensive coordinator. They need a new voice.
Yeah.
Let Bob Sutton say his farewell and step down. Leave it up to him. Let him retire gracefully and get a new defensive coordinator with a new voice that is willing to make adjustments in a game.
Yep.
In
exactly.
A game. You know.
In a game. Make adjustments. My goodness. All right.
Tony Romo knew what play the Pats seemed to be running every play.
Be willing to be less predictable. You know, when you got players talking about how easy it was to figure out what the Chiefs defense was doing, that's embarrassing. So.
And Nate said it last half hour. I mean, like, you know, for a few seconds when the ball was intercepted, we felt like we were in the Super Bowl. I actually had that feeling. Oh, my gosh.
Right.
We're going to go to the Super Bowl.
You're that close.
5 seconds.
you're that close. You've never been that close ever before. So that's progress. That's something to build on. That's how we can move forward with that. Because that feeling one day will be real. And that's what we're all... That was a meaningful football game on the biggest stage. And in my lifetime, that's never happened. And that's... I was in 11 years ago, I was in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and I watched the Giants beat Brett Favre in his last game in Lambeau. And I watched a bunch of dejected Packers fans walk out of Lambeau. But I said to him, hey, you guys were here? My team's never been here. I just want to be here. This loss hurts and it sucks, but at least you're here to experience that. I've never been there, and until last night, it's never happened in my lifetime as a fan, and we got it. So that's one step closer to the ultimate goal, and that's progress, and that's something to build on, and that's what we can look at today.
And most experts would say that a first-year quarterback of the Chiefs should have been 8-8 this year. That's how it is with most first year starting quarterbacks. They were 12-4. There's a lot of step back from. But don't tell me. I don't want one. And if you hear anybody say this, you go debate them that Patrick Mahomes can't win a big game because he took the Chiefs to the lead against the Rams. He took the Chiefs to the lead twice against New England in the last 5 minutes. It's ridiculous.
Only an idiot would say that.
He took the lead against Seattle. I mean, it's unbelievable.
He's the man.
So that close to almost being undefeated this year.
MVP. We have an MVP.
Yeah, he did it. He did it again, everybody. And against all odds, in the first half, when it looked like he was going to finally have a bad day. He's had a bad first half before a couple times this year. But we have yet to see Patrick Mahomes have a bad game.
You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City.
So something to step back from. Hey, that's how I'll take it to you. I'll go with Jake's philosophy. Hey, it's hard. It's difficult today. But we had a stepping stone. I don't know if they'll have it next year or the year after that, but in the next 3 years, I think we all know we're going to be there. Maybe all three. Could make some right decisions here. All right, there's other teams are going to try to beat us down. Remember that. So there's going to be a battle in the NFL. All right, everyone, have a good day. Here's your forecast. The clouds moved in, ruined our eclipse, too. There was no eclipse to be seen because low clouds spread in over Arrowhead Stadium. It was a cold blast. No matter what anybody says, okay, that was a whole debate. I couldn't believe it. It's in the teens. Like, where was the Arctic blast? We had one. That was cold. It was ridiculous. Would have been a lot warmer if the Chiefs would have won. And now today looks nice, up to near 40 degrees, south wind. And then tomorrow, a cold front blast in. And then later this week, a real, true cold front blast in. So if everyone has a great day, we'll go over the details on 41 Action News. Keep your chin up. On to better days ahead for this Kansas City Chiefs team. We'll get there. And here is Bob Hamilton.
Thanks, Gary. Maybe it's cold outside. Get a new furnace for $42 a month. Better call Bob, 888-4-B-O-B. Remember, 913, or bobhamilton.com.
We'll be right back after this with Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Star in studio on Sports Radio 810 WHB.